I'd just like to introduce our speaker today. His name's Andrew Wegner. If you, you know, you can just call him Weg if you forget all of that. I met Andrew doing ADRA, so we were like packing food parcels together, and I didn't realise that he. The first time I realised that he had all these things was he would be taking, like when we were packing the food stuff, there'd be all these sort of rotting food things, and he'd be like, I'll take them home for the rats. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, why do you have rats and why are you feeding them? And not that he actually likes the rats. But so, Andrew, what are the rats for? Will you tell us later? Okay. I'd just like to introduce my friend Andrew, and he's going to present to you all these wonderful things.
Great, thank you, Bronwyn. I'll smooth this out of the way.
I was going to actually say something about Bronwyn and Zach, but I don't need to now. I've got the healthiest rats in Melbourne, trust me. Thanks to Coles, Woolworths and the scraps I get from ADRA. Well, I'm happy to be here this afternoon with my wife, Lorraine, who is over in the corner there. We'll talk a bit more about her maybe later. But today, basically, is focusing on our awesome Creator, the things we have that sometimes we take for granted, sometimes we overlook. I enjoyed that little bit about the lorikeets. I can understand the phone. I was away earlier this week with a couple of friends. They wanted to go for a bushwalk. Not church folk, but their emphasis was walking, checking Facebook, walking, checking Facebook, walking, checking Facebook. My emphasis was walking, going slow and looking for things out in the bush. But we're all different. And this afternoon I'll be focusing for the younger people especially. And I'll just tell you how the journey started. It goes back to a little Adventist school in Tasmania. In that school we had five children. Two of them came from my family. I knew every name of that child, or those children, I should say, in that school. And our teacher was called Mrs. Buxton. One thing she would do once a week was tell us as students in that five children's school to bring something for the nature table. And living on a farm in Tasmania, you'd pick up skulls, you'd pick up dead smelly things, you'd pick up little live wriggly things to take for the nature table. And Mrs. Buxton would get us to talk about that creature. But then we had to do all the other reading and writing and stuff that, you know, teachers make you do at school, which I think is probably important anyway. Well, that's what they tell me. But that's where this journey started. And I can still remember this really vividly. 1964, I was in grade four. Mrs. Buxton, as a school teacher in Tasmania, would go home for lunch. She lived about half a K away. Leave us there at the school. We looked after ourselves during lunchtime. Now, where's Daryl? Imagine doing that now at your school, going home for lunch, leaving all the children to look after themselves. I don't think that's probably legally allowed anymore, but Mrs. Buxton would do that. And during lunchtime, I had a really bright idea in grade four that I wanted to study tadpoles. Tadpoles turn into what?
Frogs.
Well done, thank you. I thought you'd get that right. I was hoping you'd get that right. So I had this really bright idea with my friend Gavin and Stephen, my sister and her girlfriend used to play with other things in the playground, but I had this idea that we had a little schoolroom, had five children in it, one teacher. The teacher had gone home for lunch, so she wasn't there to supervise, so why not try this? And this is what we did. I want you to imagine this is the school building here, there's a bit of an embankment there, and where that tapestry is at the back there, there's a farmer's hill that had a dam on it. And I worked out with my friend Stephen and Gavin that if we dug a hole at the back of the shelter shed in the school playground, build a trench from that hole going up the hill to the farmer's dam, we could fill that little hole to get the tadpoles in and we could have our own little frog life cycle going. So we used to sneak across the fence, took us quite a few days to do this, dig a little trench from the back of our school ground up the little hill to the farmer's dam where we shouldn't have been anyway, but Mrs. Buxton didn't know. She was at home having lunch. And sometimes, by the way, she wouldn't come back after lunch. She'd go to sleep. So we'd dismiss ourselves and go home. Again, you probably couldn't do that. Don't get any ideas over here because I know there's a teacher listening. But anyway, what happened was that I didn't realise at the age of grade, or when I was in grade four, that as you dig a trench up to a dam that's up here and the school's down here and you break into the side of the dam wall, you know what's going to happen, don't you? The water starts rushing down your trench. So very quickly, the tadpole pond filled up, which was ideal, but then we had a problem. The school bell went, we went into class, and within an hour of us doing this wonderful engineering feat, I'm sitting in class with my friends and noticing the back part of the school ground was getting wetter and wetter and wetter as the dam was getting emptier and emptier and emptier, and I flooded the back of that schoolroom. Now, I learned something very important that day. If you flood a schoolroom and you haven't told the teacher you've broken into the farmer's yard and got some water out of his dam, in those days you got the cane, four of them, right across the back of the legs. But that story, I think, well, God had a leading even way back then, because it gave me an interest in nature. And we started to breed our tadpoles, we started to breed frogs. And that's what we're going to start with now, because when God made our creatures, some things changed dramatically during their lifetime. So I want these boys here, please, to come up the front. A lot of participation today. Turn around facing the audience. Thank you. Yes, you as well. Where's my number one hand, Vicky? She's coming up to help me. It's good to have her as well. Because when God made some of our creatures, he put them into certain habitats, different homes that he'd made around the country. And we're just going to pretend that these young people up the front here are heading off to Queensland without their parents. So don't worry, parents, they'll be all right. They'll come back eventually. And they're going to a very interesting habitat, but they have to trust me. I want you to close your eyes, 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 close your eyes. No peeping, all right? You often get peepers, because when God created habitats, especially in Queensland, he created a place called a rainforest, where it often rains quite a lot. All right.
Stop it.
All right, okay. Now, just open your eyes and have a look. Did you get a little bit wet?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. So we've got a habitat that God's made called a rainforest, but then something else can happen in a rainforest. What I want you to do is turn your eyes towards Vicky over here. I'm just going to make her hands wet, and I'm just going to get a little friend out. We're just going to share it with you, but you guys can stay here just for a minute. When we think about God's creatures, we have got some beautiful green tree frogs that live in our country, but they need to be wet and they live in a rainforest habitat. So what we're going to do, or try to do, because I've made Vicky's hands wet, because you've got to have wet hands to hold this frog, otherwise it dries out too much, just pop your hand over the top there for a moment. A frog will breathe through its skin and it drinks through its skin. And I often say to children with my schoolwork where I visit schools, imagine if you drank through your skin. You'd have a church lunch here, and instead of having a glass of water, you'll jump into the punch bowl, which would be a lot of fun to watch. But I want these young people up the front here, just make your hands wet. Have a little pat of our friend that's here. All right, just get ready for it to launch itself. Because as a frog, you have a double life. You start off as a tadpole, then you turn into a frog. This is the adult stage of your tadpole. But this green tree frog, I did not go to Queensland to get it. It came from a Woolworths supermarket in Ferntree Gully. Frogs accidentally come down our highway, takes them 4 days to get here, in the back of a truck, and the supermarket man out at Ferntree Gully, when he opens his boxes of bananas, he wants to sell the bananas, but often one of these will jump out. That's where I get some of my creatures from. And this frog, this green tree frog, is beautiful, but for the young people later, always remember your dry hands will actually hurt the frog's skin, because it's very sensitive that God's given it. And the other interesting thing about the frog, this one will vocalise, it'll make a noise. Now, it's only the male or the boy frogs that make a noise. And I want these guys up the front here to answer something before they sit down. At your house, who talks, mum or dad?
Mum and dad.
Mum and dad, that was interesting. What about your house?
Both.
We're going well so far. Your house, both. Be careful, I've got the water bottle. Both. All right, thanks, guys. You can sit down. But it is interesting. When you hear a frog calling, it's the males making that noise to attract the female. The girls say nothing. They zip it all their life and just sits there and watch, which is very interesting. But the green tree frog is beautiful. This big one here can actually swallow a mouse. And I've got the best mice in Melbourne too, by the way. But when they eat their food, they have to eat their food live. They can't eat dead things. And the other thing they do, if you watch my eyes, they go like this. They cannot eat with their eyes open. Now, I try to eat with my eyes open to see what I'm having. I'm sure most of you do. Do you eat your eyes? Because you've got glasses. You'd eat with your eyes open, wouldn't you? Yeah, good to see you. Thank you. It's another friend in the front. But with the frog, they have to close their eye, and the muscles behind their eye push the food into their tummy, into their throat. So when this frog has, I give it mainly cockroaches, you can see the cockroach go down, and the tummy's going like this until the cockroach runs out of air. But they eat live food. Now, children, imagine if Mum and Dad gave you live creatures instead of K-I-double-L-ing at first. It'd be hard to get children to sleep, wouldn't it? But frogs do a really interesting thing when they're feeding, and it's a beautiful frog, well-behaved at the moment, but I don't always trust it because it could almost launch from here and land on your mum's lap if it wanted to. So green tree frogs are beautiful, but just remember, God made these for us to enjoy. All right, let's pop the frog away. We'll keep moving. We've got a few things to discover. Thanks, Vicky. Now, also when I was in Tasmania, one of my little activities was to go to the local creek and find one of God's interesting creations that I believe our God, Creator God, had a sense of humour. Have a look at this. If you come from overseas and you meet a platypus, you think, my goodness me, what have we got here? A creature that's got a duck's bill, it's got webbed feet like a duck, it's got a tail like a beaver. It lays eggs if it's a female, and it's even got a poisonous spike on the back leg if it's the male. And the platypus is found in eastern Australia, but it's a beautiful creature but quite secretive in the way it goes about looking for its yabbies and things to eat. But also it has an interesting way of feeding. If it wants to feed in a creek or a river and dives down to the bottom of its habitat, it'll dive down with its eyes closed, and it will do this. It'll get its mouth like this, go down to the bottom of the creek or the river, go through the mud with its mouth, pick up its food, bring it up, open its eyes, have a look at the yabby or the bug it's caught, grind it down, usually with some sand that it's got in its mouth as well, which helps to grind it down, swallow it, but the platypus has no stomach. God did not give this creature a stomach. Doesn't need a stomach. Goes into the big intestine system and digests it that way, which again makes it quite unique and quite special. But I say to children, imagine if you had to find your food with your eyes closed. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? It'd be very messy at home eating or even at a church lunch. But that's what the platypus does. And the platypus has got a little poisonous spike on the back leg if it's a male, but it's related to another creature. Can some of the children out here tell me what's its close cousin?
Echidna.
Well done. Can you come up the front and help me, please? Sorry, big kids at the back. If you put your hand up, I probably won't choose you. All right, now, with the echidna, it's the other example of what God's made to make an interesting creature for us to enjoy in our country. It's the cousin of the platypus. The echidna, or spiny anteater, is covered in all those sharp spikes or spines to protect itself. Underneath, you'll see the stitches. It's all been stitched up, right? Doesn't have any poison or spikes in those spikes, but it goes about feeding on all sorts of ants. For example, it'll eat a bull ant, jumping jack ant, which are the ones I don't like, sugar ants, little black ants, it'll lick them up. And a few years ago, the government, now I won't say too much about the government, but anyway, the government gave two people a grant to study echidnas. They had to work out how many ants the echidna licked up in a day. Now, keep paying your taxes, because there are some important things happening out there in the community we don't sometimes know about. But imagine sitting next to an echidna watching the tongue come in and out licking up ants. And that study apparently revealed that up to 15,000 ants in a day can be licked up by an echidna. Now, I thought about that once, and I thought, yeah, God made ants. Some of them are quite small, but even 15,000 little black ants is not a lot of food when you really stop and work that out. But maybe mix in a few bull ants, you're a lot better. But girls and boys especially, no teeth but a long sticky tongue. But this is where I think it becomes very interesting. Let's just roll it over. He's doing a good job so far. Underneath, this is a female. I can tell because all the hair or fur has fallen out of this specimen that was found dead beside the road. The female echidna, when she's about to lay her egg, because it's a monotreme like the mother platypus, the fur or hair falls out of here. She lays the egg from this patch, rolls it into here, curls up over that egg for 8 to 9 days, it hatches out, then the little baby echidna holds onto the mother's soft tummy. And to get milk, there's no nipples on this mammal. God created two of our creatures, the platypus and the echidna, so the milk just oozes out of the pores of the skin. So the little baby just has to lick in here and the milk seeps through. Now, how cool is that? But then if you're an echidna, I'll let you sit down in a moment, I hope your legs are okay, although you're wearing shorts, that's good. If you're an echidna, though, and you've got your baby, you're giving it milk to drink, starts off very small, of course, gets a bit bigger, and gets to almost the size of my fist. Mother echidna, and it's good to see some young mums here, have got a problem. Carrying the baby around in the bush habitat around Melbourne, for example, what's the problem that mum's going to have?
Because the echidna is too big.
Well, it does get too big and something happens to mum. All the mums out there, what's going to happen to you as your baby grows on your soft tummy? Think about it. Yeah, what's going to... Yeah, it's going to get completely spiked because as the baby grows, the spikes or spines on its back. Poor old mum is walking through the bush and the little baby is giving mum instant acupuncture all over its soft tummy and the mother gets annoyed. Now, as mum's in this church this afternoon, this is one solution if you're a mum echidna. I will stress, if you're a mum echidna. You dig a hole, you bury your baby during the day so it doesn't annoy you. Make sure this part here is up out of the ground so you can breathe. You go about your business catching ants all day, come back to your baby at night, dig it up and feed it. How cool is that? So when you think about it, this creature has worked out a way of bringing up its baby. Now, a little baby echidna, by the way, is called a puggle. And as the baby gets a bit bigger with more spikes, it then goes off with mum and does its feeding. Now, Lorraine and I have got a beautiful son called Scott. I can remember when he was a baby, some nights it would have been great to dig a hole and find him in the morning because I would have got more sleep. But of course, being a wonderful parent that I was, we didn't do that. But that's the solution if you're an echidna, which I think is pretty cool. And when you touch it, for the younger ones here, just make sure you go that way. And I've done a lot of teaching in my time, and I don't know why, but sometimes you meet children that aren't too smart with what they're thinking. They go the wrong way, but that's why you have to have insurance when you visit schools. Thank you, my friend. All right, now I need a helper. Who can I have this time? You're on. Thank you for volunteering. Here he comes. Sorry, I don't know all the names, but that's okay. We'll learn as we go along. Now, your parents here?
Yeah.
Could you point to where they are, please? All right. Now, can you answer a really good question? They don't have to listen. Have your parents stopped growing yet?
No.
They haven't. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. All right. Watch this. Again, looking at God as our creator, certain animals that he made for us to enjoy and to see the power that he had when he did make things is my friend in here, which is close to 35 years old, so almost as old as me. When we think about our reptiles, our freshwater turtles, I'll just show my little friend stand here quickly. If you can feel the shell there if you like. It's got a very hard shell. There's another one there. No, that's okay. Afterwards. But if you're a freshwater turtle, you start off your life the size of a 20-cent coin. Children often see this when I go around to some of my school visits and they go, oh, Andrew, isn't it cute? It's a baby. Please don't call it a baby. It's over 35 years old. And the interesting thing is, to hold it, you need two tough hands. You put one hand there, one on top. Hold it like a big veggie burger, as most children would say in an Adventist school. And you hold it like that very tight. It might do some swimming practice as it warms up because being cold-blooded, it's enjoying the heat there and the heat there. And, of course, that shell is perfect camouflage, so if it does come out of a river, a swamp or a billabong, you probably wouldn't see it because it looks a bit like a rock. Won't keep its head in for very long because it's a real sticky beak, wants to see what's going on. But it's interesting when I look at that freshwater turtle that I found on Whitehorse Road in Box Hill many, many years ago one night. It should live to be 70. So just imagine when I rock up here in another nearly 30 years' time, I'll have my special four-wheel drive walking frame. I'm not sure what Ross Jackson's getting, but he's one of my friends and sort of a relative, aren't you, Ross? But it'd be interesting to think that this same freshwater turtle could be coming back to this church in 30 years' time. It won't stop growing till it dies. And like I try to tell to people, aren't you lucky really your mum and dad have stopped growing? If they got bigger and bigger all the time, we would have a problem. Imagine your grandparents, if they got bigger and bigger all the time. So if God's creatures, some of them won't stop growing. They reach maturity, but they continue to grow. And with this freshwater turtle, underneath, I'll show you quickly, you've got patterns underneath there that you don't often see. And there's another reason for that when God made these creatures. As it swims across the top of a waterway, if you're a fish looking up, that pattern underneath breaks up the outline. Whereas if it does backstroke, which it doesn't, by the way, but if it did that, you'd see a black blob and you wouldn't know, or you'd go up to investigate it, so you'd wonder what it was. So that's probably the best way to do it. And afterwards, have a go, especially the younger ones that are here. And the most common question that I get when I visit schools and preschools is, Andrew, does it go to the bathroom? Well, the answer simply is yes. All animals go to the bathroom, but I can't predict when or how much they're going to do when they go. But what I tell a lot of people, if you're worried about it getting you, just do it that way so it squirts someone else, then you haven't got a problem. So it's just a little tactic I've learnt over the years. But it is a beautiful turtle. Live in the fresh water. Like, this one likes to eat fish, but it started off the size of a 20-cent coin. All right. Thank you, my friend. Well done. I'll just pop him back in here. Now, for those people that are here, and Bronwyn was saying before that she had a friend, I didn't know she had another friend, but she said she had a friend that was going to learn how to do taxidermy. This is the brush-tailed possum, the one that you'd find around the city area where some of you come from. The other example, I might get Vicky to hold up the ringtail if that's all right. Thanks, Vic. They're the two most common possums around Melbourne. But to show you today how a taxidermist works, it's very clever what they do. They're very talented people. Because I can pick up a dead creature like the possum on the road, have a government licence, you pay so much money every year to have the privilege to pick up roadkill. You take it home, if you haven't got the money, you put it in a freezer. Being a married man that I am and have been for many, many years, you have the family freezer, you have the taxidermy freezer. It's not good mixing up the dead animals with the frozen ice cream and peas, etc. So you have your own separate freezer, and it's a tax deduction. But anyway, this is what the taxidermist does. They'll gut the creature open, take everything out, and just left with the skin. Then that person has to be smart enough to make up a model out of straw, string and wire, because the wire frame replaces the skeleton inside. They make a head out of plaster and usually would put the fur over the top. So that's what it should look like. So if we were to cut this little quoll in half, or cut the ones in half that Vicky's holding over here, there's nothing inside other than material. And if you've ever been to the museum, there's a beautiful horse called Farlap. Ever seen Farlap at the museum? That is a magnificent creature. It's a skin stretched over a model. And when I look at Farlap, I think of my bank balance, thinking there's $400 sitting here. Imagine how much it would cost to get your horse done. It'd be quite expensive. And these days, not a lot of people are doing native animals because you have to have a special license. But there is a big market, and this will sound a bit weird, but people's cats and dogs that pass away now are being taxidermied a lot more frequently than they used to be. But a big dog will cost you about $800 to have it stuffed to sit in your lounge room. A cat starts at about $300, but if you just want the heads done, it's a lot cheaper. So think about that. But anyway, with the possums. There are two possums here, the ringtail, the brushtail. You would have all seen them. What we're going to do together now, the grown-ups are going to help me. God gave creatures vocal cords to make noises. If you're a little ringtail possum tonight climbing around a tree in your backyard, you're going to make this sound, like a little chattering sound. Can you all try that? Yeah, not too bad for a church group. That's pretty good. Okay. If you're a brush-tailed possum, you make this sound. You go... Let's try that. It's good to see some... Yeah, well done, boys, at the front. Okay. So it makes that really throaty, horrible sound. And if you ever have anyone staying at your house that's come from overseas, they get quite worried when they hear this weird sound coming in your backyard. But they're the noises that the possums make. Now, being a possum, being a quoll like the one on top of the piano, or being a wombat like the one over here, God made them different to all our other creatures. By being marsupials, as the young people will know, they would have learned at school, they have a pouch to put their joeys in. Now what we're going to do, another job for Vicky, can you give out, you know what, in that little container please for me? I want these young people to come up the front, again, facing the audience please. Turn around and I want you to take a jelly bean from Vicky. Don't eat it, just take the jelly bean. All right. Sorry, grown-ups, if you don't want them eating sweets, but not just yet. Yeah, you can. Oh, that got someone up the front quickly. All right, now, I want these young people to hold up their jelly bean nice and high. Hold them up. Can you all see at the back there? Can you see the jelly bean? Now, just keep them there. If you happen to be a possum, a koala, a wombat, You will wait, mums, 9 to 10 days to have your babies. So mothers in this room, imagine waiting that long, 9 to 10 days before your baby's born. But when the baby's born, it pops out the size of a jelly bean. That's the size of our baby marsupials. And like a kangaroo, you're right. And I often think,
they can they climb from the fur to the pouch?
Exactly. Well done. We're going well up the front here. But I often think, well, I think mums these days would be happy if a jelly bean-sized baby did pop out. But then dad would have to go and pick up the mum, probably lose the jelly bean before they got home anyway, and then have to look after it. So that's the size of the baby. All right, now you can take your jelly bean or give it back to Vicky, whatever you'd like. No, you can take it with you. Now, when we talk about Joeys, I've got a little wombat Joey here that was found dead at the Melbourne Zoo when I used to work there as a zookeeper. And this little wombat was rejected by the mum because the mother wombat knew that there was a problem. It wasn't feeding properly. And I can still remember back in the 70s, I was raking out the wombat cage. And if you're a zookeeper, you feed the animal, you pick out what comes out the other end a few days later. That's what you basically do as a zookeeper. And I can remember raking this up with the rubbish in the thing. I thought, that's really sad. And I picked it up, took it to my boss's office, and I said, Roy, I found this little baby Joey dead in the wombat cage. And he said, oh, Andrew, put it in the bin, please, and go back to work. And I thought, oh, okay. So I walked around past his office, was about to go outside, and I went back and said, oh, Roy, do you mind if I keep it? And he goes, what do you want it for? And so I want to put it in a jar when I take it home. He goes, oh, okay, and I've still got it. That was back in 1975. But that little wombat has been recycled. But he did say to me on the second return visit to his office when I got permission to keep it, he said, Andrew, listen to this. When you're cleaning out that wombat cage in a few weeks' time, check out what happens. He said the mother wombat will then probably have another baby that'll grow up to be healthy. And he was right, like most bosses are, by the way. The mother knew that this would not survive if it had gone the full term, all right, as far as getting out of the pouch was concerned. So that one, it's sad, but it's the way nature works. But the next wombat it had grew up to be quite healthy. Now, with God as our creator making Joeys, he also had a way of making us smile. Can someone tell me, a koala is a marsupial. Where does a koala live?
In a tree.
You were too slow. You're right, in a tree. Well done. You beat the boys. Good on you. Good girl. High five for that. All right, in a tree. If you're a koala living in a tree, a mum, you're going to have joeys, you're going to have babies. But instead of the pouch being here where you'd expect, the pouch faces downwards. If you're a mother koala climbing around in the trees. Now you would think, wouldn't you, if you're a koala climbing up a tree looking for leaves to eat, your pouch is facing that way and not up here somewhere to keep the baby safe, why on the earth would that be like that? There is a reason. As the little baby Joey koala is growing, mother knows when it's getting to the stage where it has to be weaned off the milk onto solid foods. And as the mother passes out ooey gooey horrible eucalyptus mush, as they call it, the baby gets to lick the taste of eucalyptus leaves as it's coming out, gets used to that taste, grows up, becomes healthier, then sits on the mum's back and off it goes. So it's the way of the baby getting off the milk because they're facing down that way where the stuff is coming out from, if you like, or the mashed up leaves. But the same with a wombat. A wombat, I'll get Vicky to do something again because she wants a good workout, don't you, young lady? All right, if you're a wombat, you've also got a pouch, but a wombat's pouch is also facing backwards. Now, for a wombat, of course, that makes a lot of sense with God's creation, because if you're a wombat and you're digging a hole, you don't want the pouch opening up this way, because as mum's digging, you're going to get a face full of dirt if you stick your head out. But as a baby wombat Joey, as you grow up and you get a bit older and you are sticking your head out the back, well, you never know where mum's going, because you're going the other way. And, of course, other things you'll probably notice as well. So I think with our God creator, some of the Joeys, it is interesting how it works, but there is a reason for it if you stop and work it all out. Now, I think we need to choose somebody. Can you choose someone who hasn't had a turn to come up the front, Vicky, to help me? All right, here we go. Let's keep moving. With a lot of my pets, girls and boys, I like to carry them in my pillowcases. It keeps them nice and quiet, okay? It doesn't hurt them. I wouldn't recommend it for a cat or a dog, although I could say things about cats, but I'm very kind today, being Sabbath. Cats are good as long as you look after them. I've got a friend in here that can breathe okay. I just need to take her out. We'll talk about it for a little while. This is what is called a blue-tongued lizard. It's quite common in the habitats around Melbourne. And again, being one of God's creations, it's a little bit different. But as you touch the reptiles this afternoon, I do want you to have a hold later and get some awesome photos if you'd like to. They will be cold and they will be scaly. And like at the introduction they were saying about the weather is a lot nicer now than what it was a few Sabbaths ago. It was very hot. These guys won't be moving too fast today because of the coolness of the day. But this blue tongue, I'll give you a hold in just a moment, it's got these beautiful patterns or markings to blend into its where it lives so you can't see it. To hold it, there's two ways of doing it, especially for the young people. If you put one warm hand there, one warm hand underneath there, please, it just supports the weight of this reptile. Now, it'll start to wriggle a little bit, but just hold him nice and firm. But the lizard is now thinking there's a hot water bottle here, a hot water bottle here. This is a cold-blooded creature. God's made all these different animals in different ways and different features. But as you can see, it gets the wriggles. But if it gets the wriggles, don't panic. You just give it a good North Fitzroy cuddle. Pop it up there. Is that okay? So pop it up on your shoulder. Make it feel safe. It's likely to lick you with its blue tongue, which just feels wet. It's not going to do any damage. And it'll possibly just go to sleep if we leave it there long enough. Okay? So that's what the lizard... No, he's doing all right. It's just having a lick. And what it's doing with its tongue... just having a bit of a sniff and a smell to make sure he doesn't smell like a snail. Now, I'll just have a quick sniff. No, it doesn't smell too bad. But it's testing the air, working it all out, okay? The tongue is coming in and out for sensing and smelling what's actually happening to it. So it's got a different way of finding food than what you and I would do. And with the blue tongue, that was pretty good. You don't grab it by the tail. Can someone tell me what could happen if you pull it by its tail? All right, the tail would drop off, and it prefers to go home from church meetings with all its body bits, just like I'm sure most of you do here, all right, but then it would have to regenerate another tail. So if my friend here was a kookaburra, and Vicky over here happens to be a dingo wearing a hat, but that's not always normal, but anyway, dingo or kookaburra come along, the lizard knows if it gets grabbed at the wrong end, at least it's got a second chance and it can regenerate that tail. Okay, and blue tongues, by the way, don't keep snakes away. There is a bit of an old wives' tale. If you see a blue tongue, you'll have no snakes. That's not true. A blue tongue like this can have four or five live babies, which means a tiger snake would love to eat the babies, so it might even attract snakes. But on the other hand, a tiger snake can have 30 little live babies. A big blue tongue would tackle a little live snake as well. Now, just before you sit down, you're about to get licked. It's good to get licked in a church in the afternoon. Here we go. Or nearly. He's not, oh, nearly, you nearly saw that tongue coming out. You okay? All right, probably give him a clap though to help him. Thank you for doing that. Well done. And children do often, when they pick these up too, and these are very tame by the way, they wonder what the holes are on the side there. They're just little ear holes, all right? We've got ear flaps, which helps people in this room wear glasses, whereas if you're a blue tongue, you've just got the little holes on the side. Okay, the snakes won't have that, as you'll see in just a moment. So I'll just pop him back in here for just a minute. All right, now, let's keep things moving. What I'd like to share with you, where did I put it? Oh, I know what we might do, Miss Vicky. Can I just get you to come over here, please, for a minute? All right, Vicky's learning all sorts of things about wildlife and things in general. So you can choose somebody. I'm going to get you to go to a desert habitat, but you need to choose one of the church folk here to come up to help. Is that all right?
All right, who hasn't been up?
All right, do you realise you've just chosen Zach? Zach's one of the good helpers at Adra at Ferntree Gully. And by the way, he doesn't own long pants either, just like obviously his father doesn't. But that's okay. I don't know why Adra actually give out long trousers, really. I think we should just have a thing about that. Another man in shorts, good to see. All right, thank you. All right, it's okay. Nothing wrong with me. Well, there is, but don't tell everybody. We're now going to a desert habitat, and for the children here especially, if you're going to the desert, what do you need? You need one of these, which is called a hat. You need to put on some
sunscreen.
You need... And what else should you need?
Water.
All right, it's a good idea to have some water as well. All right. Well, there might be a sandstorm, if you're lucky. All right, now we're going to pretend we're out in the desert habitat. So it's hot, it's dry. These two people are out there and they meet one of God's, what I think, scary creatures, unless you get to know them. Can you just hold on to Vicky's hand for a minute? I promise she doesn't bite real hard, according to her mum. All right, okay. Let's pretend now we have two trees. We have a young tree that's growing, we've got a tree that's probably stopped growing now. We're out in the desert, but something comes along. Now, Can you just pretend, Zach, in a big loud voice, just tell everyone, say, close your eyes, please. Can you do that?
Can you close your eyes, please?
All right, everyone should have their eyes closed, right? Don't nod off at the back of the church there, because I'll be watching you. All right, everyone should have their eyes closed. We're about to try something. This normally works. Vicky knows what's coming. Zach doesn't, but Zach trusts me anyway. All right, keep those eyes closed. Just have a little brief nap. Glenda, don't go to sleep in the back corner there. I'll be watching you. It's good to have Glenda and Ross here all the way from out in the sticks of Mount Evelyn. No peeping just yet. All right, now open those eyes right now and have a look. In the desert dry habitats, we have got some interesting, awesome-looking reptiles like this bearded dragon. And God made this reptile by having it spiky and mean-looking. It means that other larger creatures like to keep away from it, okay? They leave them alone. And I often say to young people, imagine in the morning, you get up in the morning to go to church or Sabbath school or maybe off to school on Monday. You go to the mirror and you go, I want to look as ugly as possible to scare away the teacher and all my friends. I hope you don't do that. But if you're a bearded dragon, by looking like this, other creatures will possibly leave you alone. Now, it's happy to sit on Vicky's shoulder until this happens. If a bug comes out from under the hat, I'll just check, I'm not sure if you got them out today. There's no bugs there. That's lucky, isn't it, Mum? No bugs in the hair. But if a bug was to crawl down here, guess what the lizard's going to do? Simply just ambush it. That's right. It'll wait to ambush its prey. This would be more exciting, which we could try at this church. If a big hairy spider came walking along here, what's it going to do to the big hairy spider? Just ambush it. Just get it. That's right. And children, that word ambush means it's waiting. Now, it wants to come over to the Zach tree. You ready? I'll just check the... No, nothing there. Okay, just well done, Brom. The hair's nice and clean. Put it over here. All right, here we go. But again, the bearded dragon, by keeping still, some of us probably won't notice it. And I think sometimes in life we do tend to move a bit too fast, don't we? We get on those devices, and I enjoyed what you said before about those too, Lorikeet Lady, I think it was Naomi, wasn't it? Okay. We get on our devices and we forget sometimes to slow it down, look around us, because this will also blend in to the surroundings quite well. You okay there, Zach? Okay, good. Okay, sort of. All right. But the dragon, we're going to try another little experiment. You can let go of Vicky's hand for a minute. Its tummy is actually quite soft. It's not as tough and bad as what you might think. And we're going to get Zach to try this because I think he can do it, can't he, Mum? If my son was here, Scott would say, what could possibly go wrong? Here we go. Thank you. We'll pop it over here. Just let it sit there for a moment, and it's quite relaxed now just to sit there. But if you ever get to a desert habitat where it's dry and hot, girls and boys especially, these guys will be out there, but they'll only be out in the first thing in the morning. In the heat of the day, they like to disappear or go up a tree where you probably won't see them. But I'll just show you what it can do, Zach. On a hot day, it'll get up on its back legs, and it'll take off like that on two legs, go extremely fast. Then it'll go on four, then it'll go on two. If it gets to a tree, Zach is now the tree, just relax for a minute, Zach, and holds onto the tree just here. Nice tie, by the way. But it might just sit on the side of the tree. But if Zach was out in the bush with his family, and the family come up to look at the bearded dragon's not silly. What it will do, it won't stay there for you to look at it. It will quickly go around to the back of the tree and sit there so you can't see it. All right. So if you want to have some fun with some of God's beautiful reptiles, get two or three people. Get a person standing there, another one there, another one there, another one there, and the lizard will do little circles for a while until it thinks, oh, this is a waste of time, and you can have a really good look at it. But it's pretty smart the way it can do that. And this bearded dragon, well done, Zach, likes to eat cockroaches, grubs and beetles out in the bush, but at my house it eats some disgusting food. I don't upset anybody here this afternoon. It likes to eat kale. Imagine eating kale. Really? Like silver beet. I can cope with silver beet, just. But it also likes red and green peppers. And my granddaughter, who lives in Sydney, when we go up to visit them, she makes this revolting kale silver beet smoothie with yogurt. And being a wonderful pa that I am, of course, I have to drink it, but then don't really tell her what I think of it. But it does eat veggies as well, which makes it a bit easier. Do you eat kale? No, I'd advise you not to. Do you eat silver beet?
What's that?
It's just a green stuff. Do you eat red and green pepper?
Okay, I'm allergic to all veggies.
You're allergic to all veggies. Okay. Give Zach a clap. Thank you, Zach. Thanks, Vicky. All right. So this is one that I'd like you to try, because especially for the younger ones, I'll show these little girls down the front here. It might look a bit mean, but in actual fact, it's a lot softer than what it is. It just pretends to be mean and nasty to try to scare things away. All right, you can have a little touch too. And at home, where I share my house with my wife, Lorraine, we have to breed cockroaches. We have to breed bugs to feed all these things. And, of course, the odd veggies at all. There you go, sorry. You can have a little hold and maybe we'll start young. I can't promise how many fingers you'll have left, but that's okay. I have got insurance, so it's okay. So this is one of my favourites because it's got a bit of character, but you won't find them around Melbourne because when God did make the land and make the sea and make the different habitats, certain animals, as you know, have adapted to live in certain places. So as you get to know our fantastic country and get to travel, there are certainly different things for you to see. I'll just pop him over in here for a minute. All right, now, I'd like to show you something that confuses a lot of kids. Inside this jar, these are not pickled onions, they're not dim sims, which you probably know what they are, and they're not tiny taties either. Some snakes will lay eggs, okay? And there are certain snakes that when they lay their eggs, the little baby snakes, to get out of that egg, another marvel of God's creation, the snake has a little egg tooth on its nose to actually slit. Where's my photo? If I can find it. Oh, here it is. The little snake will actually slit the egg open to cut that egg open so it can get out with the egg tooth on its nose. Now, there is another creature that has a little egg tooth on its nose. What's that that gets out of an egg with an egg tooth? Anyone know? Starts with C. They make they lay lots of eggs. Chickens. All right, a little chicken will get out of an egg or chip over that egg. The snake, if it's an egg-laying snake, will use a little egg tooth to slip the egg open. And then when it comes out, it'll shed its skin almost straight away. All right, and then that egg tooth comes off. So you'll never find a little baby snake with a little tooth on its nose, all right, because the skin would have been shed almost straight away. The ones in here, especially for the children watching, we're not going to have babies in them. Mother snake might lay 30 or 40 of them, but there'll always be some that are not fertile, which means they would go rotten. So I've just preserved them in metho to keep them nice and safe. Otherwise, they go all smelly and rotten. And having an understanding wife, it's good to be able to keep things like this. Now, the children are coming up the front again to help me. Well done. I know the pastor said they'd be up the front to help me. Go this way here. Make sure you're still awake, parents, out the front there. I want you to watch these children now because we're going to do a little exercise that you can come up and help me too. I'll help you. We'll do it together because we're special. All right. We're going to do some skin stretching for you guys. I want you to watch carefully. I'll just stand here and direct what's happening. Can you guys all pull your skin like that and hold it out? Can you do that so the grown-ups can see? It's stretching okay. Can you see that all right, grown-ups? Okay. Let's see if the grown-ups can do it. Okay, grown-ups in the congregation, just stretch your skin. Yeah, just make sure some of you are awake. Yeah, well done, Daryl. You make a good teacher. Okay, let it go. All right, now, what I want you to do, pull your skin up on your hand or your arm like that. Can you pull it up? Yeah, you're going well. Can you wriggle it? Is it coming off? No. No? Okay, let's try in here. I've got lots in here this year. Pull that. Grown-ups, if you want to try that, go that. There's skin there. Okay. So it's moving. It's moving around. Okay. All right, let it go. All right, you may sit down. Thank you for helping me. But isn't it interesting that these children did their skin stretching for me? But if you're a snake, your skin only stretches for a certain number of weeks and then it must come off. Otherwise, you're going to die. Okay. In the reptile family of the snakes, four or five at least times a year, that skin will peel off. And for all the children here that are growing, imagine having to say to mum and dad, oh, I'm feeling a bit tight this morning, and you start ripping off your skin before you go to school. Imagine all the extra vacuuming that the dads would have to do, because it is a dad's job at my house. It'd be terrible, wouldn't it, husbands and dads out there? There'd be bits of kids' skin hanging everywhere. And then the pastor could be preaching at this church, and then someone in the congregation, just that lady in blue, let's pick on her for a moment. I mean, I don't pick on anyone, but just pretend this lady here is growing, and she stands up and goes, oh, excuse me, but I need to grow, and you start taking your skin off in the middle of a hymn. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? All right, so the skin comes off. It doesn't... Well, you can't actually make anything from this skin. That's just like a bit of tissue paper. So just remember that. Spiders do the same. Snakes do the same. We've been created differently. Our skin will keep on stretching, okay? It's not going to have to come off. Now, today with the snakes, I'll just say this before we have a look at a few. When I first got married many, many years ago now, we moved into a flat, I guess just over a year or so went by, and then a son was coming on the scene. This lady over here, Lorraine, when she married me, I had 34 snakes. One of them was non-venomous. The rest were death adders, tiger snakes, black snakes, copperhead snakes, brown snakes. She was a very brave lady. Our son, when he arrived back from hospital, bigger than a jelly bean, by the way, we put him in this spare bedroom in our flat. He was surrounded by tanks of snakes and lizards and all sorts of things. But he was so young he didn't know what was going on, which was probably just as well. As our son Scott got a little bit older, went to preschool, then ready for school, someone over there sitting in that wheelchair said to me one night, said, "Andrew, don't you think it's probably time you got rid of some of the venomous snakes?" And I said, "Oh, but darling, they're beautiful. I've had them for a long time. I really love my snakes." And then she sort of reasoned me out to thinking, yeah, well, if my son brings someone home from kinder and decides to play with that death adder or that tiger snake, I could be in a lot of trouble. So what happened is a lot of our venomous snakes went to the zoo. They got sent to overseas zoos. And ever since those days, I've kept non-venomous ones, which means it's safer, your family lives longer, and you get invited to more places. Your insurance is a lot less to pay compared to having a normal snake. So that's what I had to do, or that's what I did do, because it was the right thing, wasn't it, darling? Just nod, thank you. Now, these days, I do like to show people some of our venomous ones, and for the children listening especially, girls and boys, if you see a snake, I know God's made them, but there are some snakes that we have to be careful of still on this earth. When we get to heaven, that'll be different. This tiger snake had venom when it was alive, to kill its food, to eat mice, and that's just a picture quickly of a tiger snake enjoying a mouse at my house many, many years ago. But they are out there for a reason, not to harm or hurt us, but they actually help us out a lot. Get rid of those little rodents that can be a problem otherwise, the rats and the mice that are around there. So that just gives you an idea of what it would look like. They swallow their prey whole, but their venom is needed. But there are certain snakes that have no venom, have no poison, which I have got here this afternoon that I'm going to share with you now. Yeah, the boa constrictor I'm not allowed to keep, but we did have them at the zoo. But I have got something that's nice anyway. I'm just going to get my assistant, Vicky, to come up and help me. All right, just saves me doing everything. Did you notice? Sorry? Well, the reason why I can't keep a boa constrictor is because I wouldn't have a house big enough, but being an overseas snake too, you're not allowed to. You've got to have a zoo to keep them. But that was, thank you, Lorraine. All right, now, Vicky's going to take my friend out of here for me. Is that correct? All right, here we go. It's good to train young people because...
I've never done this before.
It's always a first time. I hope it's still there. Mm-hmm. Yes, it looks like it is. So we're in luck. Okay, there we go. Oh, it's actually doing something, which is even better. All right, this is what is called a woma, which I wasn't expecting to shed today, but it has started to shed. It's a desert python, okay? Lives up near Alice Springs. Has the colours that you would see in the desert, and I knew it was getting close to shedding, but in actual fact, there's some skin coming off. Now, I'm not sure who's got the church cleaning this week, Pastor, but never mind, a bit late now. But the snake is in the stage of growing again. But this beautiful desert python called a woma, spelled W-O-M-A, lives out in the dry part of our country. And what it's got, I'll just get Vicky to hold the end there and I'll head bit. It's got this little narrow head because the desert gets so hot up past Alice Springs in the middle of Australia, it can bury underneath the hot sand during the day. And then it will come out at night, and what it actually does, it feeds on its relatives. It'll feed on other snakes, on lizards as well. There's very few rats and mice in the desert, believe it or not, because there's not enough food for them. So they feed on other snakes. This is one snake, the woma, which I can't put in with other snakes at my house. Otherwise, I end up with a dead snake and one very fat snake. But that snake using its tongue now, girls and boys especially, is using its tongue to smell and feel what's going on. It has a forked tongue. And the muscles are fantastic. And I'll just get Vicky to hold it there again for me. The tail is very small, very little. The bottom is just there, by the way. Whereas some snakes will have a long tail, as you'll see in a minute, to do their climbing up into the trees. This one has been adapted to live out in the desert. And the sad thing about the woma is that it's now vulnerable, which just means that there are not many of them left because there's still a market overseas for their skins to make things out of them, unfortunately. But if you're lucky enough to get to Alice Springs, you may see one. I've tried four times and I've yet to see one in the wild because they do still kill them and send the skins, especially in Europe, they're worth a lot of money still. So we've got our animals protected, but there are still some people that like to go that next step. Now, I'll just see if that bit, yeah, that bit's coming off fairly well. If it doesn't come off properly, what I do at home, I just soak them in a nice warm bath and then you just hand peel them to get it off. But I wasn't expecting it for it to shed today. I was hoping for maybe Monday, but it's beat me to it. Now, what we're going to do, we'll get two of these boys up the front for a minute. Okay, you can come up and help me. And these two, and then you guys can have a go in a minute. I'm just going to get them to explain. Thanks, Vicky. Just put your hand behind your neck and tell me, is your neck cold or warm? Just put your hand behind your neck. What do you think?
Warm?
Okay, let's just do this. Today I want you to try looking at some of these beautiful creatures. I know some people have a thing about snakes, but they're different if we respect them and have a look at the design and how special they really are. And obviously you've got to trust me to do this. I think you'll enjoy yourself this afternoon and maybe hold something you've never held before. No, this one's not venomous. It just squeezes its prey. So this doesn't have any poison at all. It's got about 170 teeth, but it does like to eat rats and mice. Just put your hand there and just smile nicely so you look like you're having a good time. But it's good to try new things. And with my teaching, and I'm coming to the end of my teaching career now, I've been around for a long time, it's interesting with city children. Sometimes city children don't get out to see much, and it's nice to introduce them to our wildlife. And what I try to teach is respect. See something like a snake or a spider, respect it. Don't go and try to grab it. But today we can enjoy them. And as you know, when God created snakes, apparently there were snakes that had wings, one of the most beautiful creatures in creation. And I really believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see snakes that'll fly. How exciting is that going to be? All right, you go, wow, there goes a snake. All right, but the snake, of course, is one of those creatures that is fantastic. I think this young man did a pretty good job. All right, I think they deserve a clap. All right, Zach, your turn. All right, you just hold that for me, young lady. Now, the last one I want to show you, we've got two more volunteers, which is good. And I was told that we're going to be some young people here today, and I think that's good. All right, I really think that's special. I've got one more snake I'll share with you. It had a rat, kindly fed up by Adra Food from Ferntree Gully many, many weeks ago. But it only eats five or six times a year. How often do you eat, Zach?
3 times a day.
You must have very rich parents. No, just get hungry. How often do you eat?
More than 3 times a day. More
to, or you must have, where are your parents, by the way? Oh, sorry, that's the, oh, whoops, I nearly got into trouble. You didn't hear that, Pastor. Okay, all right. That's good, because when you keep snakes like I do, it's not an expensive thing. You spend more money on power, keeping them warm, than what you do on food. And having been an ex-Melbourne zookeeper, we did have a boa constrictor at the Melbourne Zoo. It used to eat twice a year. Two rabbits, that's all it had for the whole year. And it was a highlight of my year when my boss would say, Andrew, go up to the rabbit section, bring me down a rabbit, please, because the boa constrictor needs to eat. And to think that that was one meal for only having two for the whole year, because they then just curl up and they live off the fat of their body. Yeah, just one, and then they have another one 6 months later. All right, now you ready? All right, I'll just check my friend in here. Again, it's in a sleeping bag just to keep it quiet. This one's still, that one's probably nearly 11 years old. It'll grow almost another metre. This one in here will grow another 2 metres. This one will get quite big. It's already close to 2 metres in length. And what happened to me, wasn't last year, I think it might have just been before COVID struck. I was doing a talk in a school, went to the staff room to have lunch, and they were in the days when not all the teachers were on their phones, so you could actually talk to teachers, but that's changed now. Anyway, I went back to the classroom and my snake was missing. It had got out of the bag, it pushed the lid off the tank, and I could hear the children coming down the corridor, and I thought, oh no, this has never happened to me before. So I'm quickly scrambling around in this room that I was using, and luckily I saw a bit of tail sticking out underneath a piano in the room where I was teaching, and so I managed to pull it out gently, put it back in the box as if nothing happened, and the 60 kids rocked up and I did my class. So the moral of that story is when you go to lunch, make sure your snake's tied up properly. All right, and also I have had two occasions where I've been driving home from work in a quick hurry to get away from work to get home to where I live, didn't put enough weight on the top of one of these tanks, and I was driving down the Eastern Freeway, got up near Doncaster, got out towards probably Mitcham Way, pulled up at some traffic lights. A lady starts tooting and pointing, and I'm thinking, what does she want? So I waved to her nicely, did a big smile. The lights changed and off I went, and it wasn't until a few k's down the road that I felt something on the back of my neck. The snake had got out, was near the back window. She could see it at the lights and I couldn't. So I had to put the hazard lights on, get out, put the snake back in the bag and continue my way home. So they're very clever at getting out if they need to. Right, here we go. It's having a wriggle, but it is beautiful, all right? And it's got a bit of a bulge. That's only because it's had a rat lately. Now, this is what is called a carpet python, probably one of the most common pythons that we recognise in our country. All right, it's got those magnificent markings or patterns all over its body, but it's a tree climber. And just to illustrate that quickly, if I put him out there like that, watch what it does. Just pure muscle control. Okay, it doesn't fall down. I'll just get it to do it again. All right, here she comes. She'll just climb up. She can't hear the noise. She can't hear me talking, but she's just going up to get a bit more purchase onto my arm. But just the tree climbing ability that the snake has and the tummy muscles, when you think about that. I don't care how many times you go to the gym. I bet you couldn't do that if I held you by one leg. You can't do that? No, just please say no, thank you. All right, so it's able to do something rather special. Now, what we're going to do with these two young men here, again, one of God's beautiful creatures that's a little bit different. I'm just going to do a double wrap because there's enough to do a double wrap. Here we go. And what the boys are going to feel, as you'll all feel in a moment, is a lot of muscle. All right, but the snake is not wet, it's not slimy, it's just cold, it's smooth, and it's going to do some exploring. All right, the snake's quite happy to come over here and check me out. Says, yeah, nice haircut, Andrew, but it's just going, if I come back here a bit, just look at that muscle control. It's just so clever how it can do that. And hasn't got any eyelids, so the snake always looks like it's always awake. It doesn't blink, doesn't wink at you, the eyes are always open, because that makes sure the animal knows when there's a predator coming, and there's a little scale over the eye that keeps the dust and dirt out. Now, what I'd like you to do, if you can keep talking, okay? What does it feel like, hot or cold?
Sort of scaly.
Sort of scaly?
Cold and a tiny bit of spike.
Okay, very good. He's doing a good job. What do you reckon, Zach? How does it feel?
Dangerous.
Okay. he's doing a good job, and it's all Zach's fault I'm here anyway, but no, it's good to be at Zach's church finally. But again, what I'll stress is that children especially watching, it doesn't have any poison. It is a friendly snake, but outside if you see one, just get your parents, get a grown-up, and they will know what to do. All right, give these two guys a big clap. Well done. Thank you. All right, well done. Thank you. Now, just before we finish, in the Bible too, you'll read how we are told to look after our environment, we're told to look after our creatures. So always keep that in mind. I mean, God created these things for us to enjoy, but we are also out there to care for the environment, care for what we have got. So it's been great coming here this afternoon. What I'd like to do at the end of my talks is give people an opportunity to touch, to pick up, and if you've got questions, all the hard ones go to Vicky, the easy ones come to me, and if we can't answer them, we'll get Lorraine to do it, is that right? Okay, and children especially, when you touch these, you're welcome to touch, but please don't feel sad. They've just been recycled, all right? I haven't shot them, haven't killed them. They've just been collected over the years so I can use them for hands-on teaching. All right, let's just bow our heads and we'll close our meeting in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are our Creator God. You've made so many things for us to enjoy, to look at, and to have a great time with. And we also pray, Lord, that the young people, especially in this church, as they continue to grow up, that they'll appreciate what you have out there with their parents as they get out into nature, in a country where we still have the freedom and the variety to enjoy. And we thank you for this chance to do this together this afternoon. In your name, amen.